Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I welcome those who come to Providence for the first time or visiting us as guests. And we welcome you and we hope to fellowship with you after the service. In the next few Sundays, I will be speaking about the grace of God. Namely, God's saving grace, God's forgiving grace, God's sustaining grace, and so on. And today we are going to talk about God's saving grace. That is, God's grace that reaches from the highest heaven and touches our lives in an effort to save us. And our text for today is found in Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord here refers to God of the Bible. And the Bible says that He is gracious. If you are visiting here for the first time, the concept of grace may be a little bit difficult for you to understand. Now, we live in a capitalist society. We know what it means to work hard and earn a living by the sweat of our brows. We tell people, you get what you deserve in life. And if you want to get ahead in life, you can do it by your own efforts. Here's the problem. When it comes to salvation, when we think of how one may go to heaven when he or she dies, we often think that if we work hard enough, we can earn it. We can earn our salvation. We think if I am good enough, if I go to church frequent enough, if I prayed enough, if I give enough money to church, if I undergo certain rituals or ceremonies, if I read the Bible enough, if I do all of those things I mentioned, then God will be pleased with me and I will have a chance to go to heaven. But here's the truth. God doesn't operate that way. God does not grant His grace of salvation to you that way. He has given to us by grace through faith, and we shall get to that very soon. What does that mean? What does grace mean? That means that God loves to bless His people, people who don't deserve His grace. God showing favor to you and me, even though we didn't earn it. That is grace. And all you need to do is receive His grace by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So today I want us to look at five aspects of God's saving grace. And hopefully by the end of the message, some of you, especially our visitors today, may receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So first, you need to know that God's saving grace is a gift. And again, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you can just look up on the PowerPoint. The Bible, which is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant Word of God, means there's no mistake, it cannot make mistakes. And God's Word says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. I want us to focus on the phrase, it is the gift of God. Dear friend, you might have come across people who claim to be Christians and have given you wrong ideas or wrong information about Christianity, salvation, and forgiveness of sin. They may have informed you that you can earn your way to heaven by being good or by doing good. As a result, I often hear people say, "I just try to do my best to live a good and decent life, and hopefully, I will go to heaven when I die." Some might have told you that you need to go through some secret rituals and ceremonies to become a Christian. Others might have told you that you need to do good works and give money to the church in order to gain salvation. But the Word of God says it is what? The free gift of God. It is free, which means you don't have to work for it. If I say it's free for you to come to the church, and I say, "Well, I'm going to collect an entrance fee at the door," it is not free. It is a gift, means someone has already paid for it. If our salvation as Christian is on the fact that I am good, then I can take credit for it. Then it is not free, because I have to work for it. But because salvation is a free gift of God, I have nothing to be proud of. In fact, if we look at the following verse in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's nothing to be proud of. If you're a Christian, you're saved by the grace of God. Not because you're good, not because you're a decent person. You might be a decent person, but it's not the reason why you're saved. You see, you and I can take no credit for it at all. Not even the best and the godliest Christians you know. God in His mercy and grace has given it to us. We don't deserve it. It is based on the grace of God. So firstly, we have learned that there isn't anything you can do to save yourself. There's nothing you can do. Salvation is a free gift of God. You just need to accept God's free gift of grace. It is the gift that you and I need to receive. And that leads to our second point. God's saving grace must be received by you. God's saving grace must be received. Now you see, no gift does you any good unless you will receive it. Now if I handed you a check for $10,000, which I won't, but if I did, and you will never cash it, it would do you no good. You will not receive the money. A few months ago, about 7 months ago, when it was still winter, I purchased some electric blankets for my children. One of my children were less than excited. It was until the weather turned really cold one night, the child started to use it, and it became valuable to the child. I won't tell which one, okay? I won't put one of my children in on the spotlight. It helped keep the child warm on a cold winter night. So how do you receive God's grace of salvation? You need to receive it by faith. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And the word "through" means faith is an instrument to which we can attain the grace of God. It is not the cause of it. It is an instrument. We are saved by grace, but we do not deserve it. To help you understand better this concept, let me tell you a story from the Bible. This is the story of a prodigal son. Some of you might have heard of this story many, many times. For those of you who are visiting, the story of the prodigal son is a story of God's saving grace. And the story goes like this. There was a man who had two sons. One day, one of them got a little anxious and came to his father and said, "Dad, I want my share of inheritance. Give it to me right now before you die. I can't wait until you die. Might as well give it to me right now." By the way, in the ancient Jewish culture, to ask the father for inheritance while he is living is a great disrespect and is a sign of rebellion. Yeah? But the dad still said, okay. So he gave the son his inheritance, and right then and there, the son took off. "Bye, father. I shall never see you again." Okay. The father was very sad. He went out and had a good time. Really good time. I mean, really good time. You spend on eating and drinking and partying and doing all kinds of things. And soon he ran out of money and resources. Fortunately, he finds a job feeding the pigs. He doesn't pay much, so he becomes hungry. So hungry that he would eat the food that the pigs were eating. You know, so... Finally, look at his life and says, "Well, what am I doing? My father is rich. I need to go back home and ask my dad to forgive me. Maybe he will give me a job." Or on the way, this prodigal son practicing what he's going to say to his father and says, "Well, Dad, I've blown it. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. And just make me one of your hired servants, and I will work for you as a servant for the rest of my life. Or I have seen you how you treat your servants. I would rather be your servants than feeding the pigs. Please let me come and work for you. I will live in the servant's quarter, not in my own old bedroom." You know what happens? When he returns home, the father sees him far along the way. The dad runs out of great joy and greets the boy. And he grabs him with a big bear hug. He's smiling from ear to ear and shout out, "Bring out the royal robes, the best of the robes. Bring out family jewels and put them on my son. Let us have a great party. The son who I thought was dead and gone has come back to me. He has come back home." Now, dear friends, in many ways we are like this prodigal son. All of us. The prodigal son deserved to be judged and condemned. He deserved to be rejected because he rebelled against his father. But instead, he received love, forgiveness, and acceptance from the father because he repented. And God and the father forgave him. This is like the saving grace of God that you and I can receive from our Heavenly Father, by grace, through faith. So we have seen that salvation is a free gift. We have also seen that God's grace must be received. And some of our friends may be thinking, "It's God's grace for me. Is it for me?" That leads to the third point. God's saving grace is available to everyone. God's saving grace is available to all. And when it comes to grace, God doesn't play favorites. Now, you can be tall, you can be short, you can be thin, and you can be plump. I won't say fat. Fat is for animals, okay? Thin. You can be male and female. You can be rich. You can be poor. You can be religious or non-religious. You can be smart or you can be
not so smart.
So regardless of your background, regardless of your status, God is more than willing to show you His grace. It doesn't matter whether you come from what religious background, a Buddhist background, or a Muslim background, or ancestor worship background, God's grace is available to you. If you're willing to turn from your old way and denounce your idols and the old ways of life and all your false gods, God's grace is available to you. For the Bible promises, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to what? To all men. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, to all. And I want to draw your attention to the phrase all men. All men mean all men. Everyone. That means God's grace is available to all of us. Though none of us deserve it. We don't deserve it, but it's available to all. You can't earn it. You can't exchange it with good works, or by going through rituals or any ceremonies. God is willing to give it to you today for free. A lot of people say to me, well, I am not good enough to be a Christian. Or I have never been to church before. Or I don't think I understand the Bible. I'll tell you that the Bible doesn't say that only good people will be saved. In fact, Jesus said He came to save sinners, like you and me. The Bible doesn't say that the only religious people will be saved, because strictly speaking, Christian is not a religion, but a relationship with God. The Bible doesn't say that only smart people will be saved. You don't have to know the Bible through and through to be saved. All you need is your faith in Jesus Christ and understand who He is and what He has done for you. Because salvation has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. That leads to the fourth point. God's saving grace comes through only one person. Not through the Pope. Not through Mary. Not through Peter and John. Through Jesus Christ alone. So we have seen that salvation is a free gift. We have also seen that God's grace must be received, and God's grace is available to everyone. And now God's grace comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Bible tells us that for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You might be asking, why is God's saving grace given through Jesus Christ alone and not through someone else? Why can't I trust Buddha to be saved? By the way, Buddhism is not really a religion. Do you know that? You know, in order to be a Buddhist, you achieve to be a Buddha. Do you know that the Buddhism, the core teaching of Buddhism, you can Google it. You can, don't trust me. The core teaching of Buddhism is to be achieved to be a Buddha. I'm not kidding you. So anyone could be a god as a Buddhist. And the final goal of Buddhism is to be a Buddha. Yeah, go and Google it. Go and check it out. So Buddhism is basically teaching you that everyone can be a god. I'm not making it up. Okay? And Buddha could also sin. That's why you hear stories in television program that says that Buddha sinned. That's why he came into the world and become a human being again. Anyway, I'm not going to say any further. But you can't be saved through anybody else but through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Now, why is God saving grace through Jesus Christ and not through someone else? Because Jesus paid the price for you to receive his grace of salvation. And no one else did. And no one else could in the history of mankind. No other religious leaders has died for you, by the way. They may have died for themselves, but they have not died for your sin. And you need to recognize that we are all sinners. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody, because we are all sinners. That is a fact.